Hi. Happy Mother's Day. Everybody says that. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. They don't say it that often on Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Yeah, they do, don't they? They say that. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. I look at what mothers have to go through, and I look at what my mother went through, and I think to myself, oh my, yeah, I had instances in my life in which I am not proud of, that my mother ministered to me. And she ministered to me in a lot of different ways. One of them being the belt. I got the belt frequently. I don't know why. I just don't know why. But I think it's tough to be a mom. I really do. I think it's very difficult to be a mom. I mean, you can give birth to children. I mean, that's the thing, but to be a mother, to be a mother is a tough thing. And I think moms today are really taking it, are really getting it. That's what I think. I think of school boards. I think of mothers being investigated by the FBI because they dare to say anything against a school board because of what they're saying, what they're teaching their kids, and that they have no right. This is what a lot of school boards are saying. You have no right to tell us what to teach your kids. That's a hard thing for a mom to swallow. It's a hard thing for a dad to swallow. It's hard to swallow it, period. When you see on TikTok or you see on YouTube or you see somebody who's saying, I'm gay and we're pushing it to five-year-olds, you know? Or I saw this yesterday. I am a nothing. I am not, and we're telling kids that. Now, that's not all teachers are doing, but those guys were. And I look at this and I say to myself, this has got to be very difficult for moms to handle. I'd like us to look at a passage of Scripture that really, I think, will help us look at this a little better instead of getting stressed out. I'd like us to look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27. I do too. Sarah, I love it too. You know? I'm starting to read lips, so because I can't hear too well, so I'm working at this. I'm serious, you know. And when you look at Psalm 27, this is King David, the shepherd. I love this psalm. This is probably my favoriteest psalm. And this psalm gives us four privileges that God has given to all Christians. Four privileges that God has given to all Christians. And what are these privileges? In Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3, he gives us the privilege of having confidence in him. Of having confidence in him. In verses 4 through 6, he gives us the privilege of coming to him. In verses 7 through 13, he gives us the privilege of crying to him. And in verse 14, he gives us the privilege of courage from him. Of courage from him. He gives us the privilege of having confidence in him. I think about this. We know God. If you've received Jesus as your personal Savior, you know God. Just Him, just God, you know Him. Think about that just for a moment. And I love this, how it opens up. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Some of us are very fearful, and you're looking at one, a fraidy cat. I get nervous, I get scared, I worry about the future, and in doing that, I'm forgetting Him. And in worrying about the future, worrying about the actual present day I'm forgetting God. And what David is reminding us is the Lord is my light and my salvation. And this is not only in terms of my salvation of I know that I'm going to heaven when I die and my sins are forgiven. Praise God for that. But don't forget, do not forget, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So not only does he provide for us the salvation of eternal life, but he provides for us the salvation right this very second, this very moment of whatever the situation is presented. The Lord is there. He's here now. He is with you. He will never leave you nor ever forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Hebrews chapter 13. I will not fear what that's going to take place, what's going to come in the future, what's going to come into it now. I think of Kathy Merritt. That's Mike's wife. What she might, you might want to, we're praying for Mike, but let's pray for Kathy. You know, the fact that she might be a widow soon. Because, maybe Mike is terminal. I mean, you look at these kinds of situations and you say, how can you face it? And we all love that song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. I want you to know something. I want to change it just. Because He lives, I can face this very second. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Right? Why? Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? And this is it. It's, you know, the confidence as in God as our provision. I praise God when God answers prayer. I thank the Lord when God answers prayer. It's just really, really cool, you know. And congratulations on that thing, that the gift that God gave you, Sarah. Praise God for that. You know, and we're just going, you know, He has provided, He has done things wonderfully and just beautifully. But don't forget that He provides the greatest gift of all, and that's Himself. He is with us. Whom shall I fear? I mean, if we had the toughest, the bravest, the smartest, the most, all of those things with us constantly, would we? We had like a bodyguard or had a whole platoon of them protecting us and all that. Well, guess what? We can't describe the protection that He has provided and is providing this very moment. And He has provided Himself. He's provided himself to you. He's with you. I will never leave you nor ever forsake you. I'm with you. How many times has he got to tell us this in order for us to believe it? But situations come into our lives. We have a lot of things happening to us in which try to distract us from that. Try to distract us, get our eyes. We're just like Peter, stepping out of the boat, looking at Jesus, bid me to come. Come. Come to me. Come. So he gets out of the water. He's looking at Jesus, right? He's about halfway there. These fishermen know exactly what to do. They know the length of an oar. Andrew, his brother, couldn't get an oar and help him because as he's sinking, because he's looking around at all the waves that are going around him. And his ankles are getting colder, then his calves are getting colder, then his knees are getting colder because he's sinking. And what does he do? You know, nobody can get to him. The only one that can save him is the Lord Jesus himself. He turns back and looks at Jesus. And he says, Lord, save me. And the Lord does. You ever felt like that? You ever have that sinking feeling? You feel like, oh, there's no way. There's no way. I mean, I feel like I'm going to drown. You ever feel like that? Yes. 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 And the thing that God wants us to know is he is there with us in the deep waters, and he parts those waters, and he saves us. He takes us out of that situation, and he ministers to us, and he protects us. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The answer is no one. And notice what he talks about his protection. In verse 1, he says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's our strength. He is the one. We were in a riot one time in open-air evangelism. We called it the Riot of 78, in which I wasn't leading this. I was taking the course on open-air evangelism at the Moody Bible Institute, and those guys that were leading it made some huge fundamental errors in open-air evangelism, especially with children. Big fundamental errors. Number one was never put your team in an enclosed area that they can't get out of. Never do that. Never. And the team leader did that. In fact, he had a van, parked the van. It was a space that was just wide enough for a van to get in because we wanted to do a movie meeting. And that's what we were doing. Over 400 kids in the South Side, Robert Taylor Home, South Side of Chicago. And we had a specially equipped van where we could show a movie and shoot it off a mirror, put it up like this, shoot it off a mirror up onto the screen, which is all self-contained. It was just amazing, just amazing. And then a black light situation, you know, those black lights with the certain colored fluorescent paints, you know, it's just really stunning, right? Wow. There was a black Muslim gang that incited a riot. And seven of our guys went to the hospital. And I can't tell you how God orchestrated the protection of all of our team members. We thought people died that night. We did. We actually thought that people died. We left three behind in the chaos. And we didn't know. There's no game here. This is life and death for people. It just, and in my mind right now as I'm telling you this, I'm reviewing the video of what happened and how God took everybody and ministered to them. But this one fella who is one of the wimpiest looking guys, he had a cheesy goatee. He should never have tried to grow one. You know, it's like, you know, hair here, hair there, maybe a hair there. You know, it was long hair on his, you know, almost on his shoulders. But how he got to take the course, it was summer school, so he was not a student at Moody. He just came in extra. He was wimpy and skinny and all this kind of stuff and short. Well, the leader of that gang who had just gotten out of prison was on top of that kid and tried to cut his throat with a knife. He took a slash at his throat, and the guy went like this, and he was laying down, and the guy's on top of him. The guy was huge, chiseled, the whole thing. Took a knife, went like this, he went like that and cut his hand. He came back for a second swipe at his neck to kill him. And this kid did this. No kidding. No. And he threw the guy, went airborne, and landed on his back. How in the world could he have done that? The strength of God, that's how it did it. He wasn't working out, you know, I need to work out because this guy's going to try to kill me, and I need to bench him and get him out. No way. It was the Lord that delivered him. I got it. It's a long story. It's a long, long story, and I'm not going to bore you with more details, but it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And, you know, the Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Being afraid and doing the right thing, that's called courage. Being afraid and doing the right thing is called courage. Our courage, we're going to talk about that in verse 14 in a moment, but doing the right thing, even though you're afraid, is courage. It takes courage. It takes courage. And then we see the protection. When the wicked, even mine enemies, verse 2, and my foes came up to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. They're saying, I don't know who they are, but this is some of the pundits on television and that kind of, there's a war against Christianity taking place and stoking up. It's getting worse in the United States and in Canada against Christianity, against Christians. And one thing that Satan wants to do in your life, one of the biggest tools that he wants to have in your life and in mine is fear. The other one, doubt. Fear and doubt. He wants you to constantly look at the threat. He doesn't want to have you look at the answer to that threat, the Lord Jesus. He just wants you to be fearful. That's what he wants. We answer it with him. We answer it with him. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came and the foes came up to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. No host should encamp against me. My heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. I love Isaiah 20. Write that down. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. For in the Lord God Jehovah is everlasting strength. Take that, memorize that. Next time you're fearful, and then there will be a next time. There will be a next time for you to be fearful. You know, the Lord is there. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. My mind has got to be on him. My mind has got to be on him. He will work it. He is your protection. He has a whole host of angels, angelic hosts. It's amazing. It is just amazing how God provides angelic hosts to protect you. And you thought, maybe you thought, wow, that was close. And when we get to heaven, we find out that was the Lord, angelic host that protected you at his discretion. It's amazing. We think, wow, that was really something. No, it was. It was God using angelic hosts. So we look at this, and we look at the confidence we can have in him. And then, so I want to ask you this question, because they say that a sermon is not a sermon unless you make application. Okay, let's make application. Do you have this in your life? Do you realize that he is all that you need? He is. He's all that you need. Do you realize that he is all that you need, and everything else that he provides for you is extra? Because I have him. He takes care of his own. He ministers to his own. He really does. So we can boldly say, like we've said earlier, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I'm not going to fear that anymore. The days of living in fear should end today. End it. And how do we end it? We take God at his word. We believe God. This is what God is telling us. We believe it. And as Billy Graham used to say, that settles it. So not only does the psalm show us the privilege of confidence in him, but the psalm shows us the privilege of coming to him. So we looked at this and we say we can come to him. Notice, one thing I have desired, verse 4. It's a desired coming. A desired coming. Again, Satan and his minions, his demons, are going to do everything possible to keep you from coming to him. That's what he's going to do. He's going to do everything possible from you communicating, distractions, everything. He's going to do everything in his power to distract you, to get you off the beam, get you off your eyes off of him. That's what he's going to do. But I know, because I want this myself, one thing I have desired of the Lord. I love this. One thing I have desired of the Lord, verse 4, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I want to seek, and then we're going to see seeking his face. So it's a desired coming. I want to do this. I want this. I don't like Diane Antos. I don't like her, okay? And I don't like my wife either, because they make some of the best chocolate chip cookies on the planet. I am not kidding. That Friday night when we had graduation, Diane made these rice cookies. Oh, they were unreal. They were unreal, and I felt like, you got to have them come, the sirens of Cyrene cookies, you know. And I had to eat them, you know. I had to have them, and I did. And it wasn't good. Barb goes, she makes these cookies. The cookie smells are going through the house. And then I can see them. They're hot. And they're just like, come to us. Come to us, right? And me, I know it's pathetic. It really is pathetic. And then I get there, and they're on the little thing there cooling. And I, don't take those. They're not for you. Why I oughta. I take them anyway. You know, what is Barb going to do to me? I'm 6'5". You know? Well, let me tell you something. She can do a lot. She can do a lot of damage. Barb's tough. I mean, you know, she really is. I got stories. Okay. I got stories for sure. And I look at this and I love that. I love them. And you know what the problem with me is? It goes from 1 to 3 to 6. I've eaten a half dozen cookies. Oh yes, Chris Schroeder, Mr. Health Nut. Oh, he's just a nut, you know. I just give me cookie. I feel like the cookie monster reincarnated it all. That's Murphy too, right? Yeah, that's really a great point, Greg. Are we on video here? Oh man. So I indulge, and you know what happens to me? I'm allergic to this stuff. I start feeling bad. I'm going, oh, sugar is killing me. Mike Antos is the same way. I mean, Mike Antos, yeah, he'll eat stuff and go, I should never have had the 16 cookies that Barb made. We have an elders meeting and Barb makes cookies and it's horrible. It's like she wants to kill us or something. I don't know. I look at that. But I tell you, here's the deal. I take one. I go, oh. And it's gone. I feel like a dog. You know, you ever see a dog? Dog doesn't go, except Precious Pup. And no, they just go, gone. And that's exactly how I am with these cookies. I love them. I really love them. And I go, wow. And you know what it does? It has a tendency to make me fat. I hate that the most. I have pants in my closet. My closet that I cannot get into because I am fat. This is like confession day or something. I don't know. But the more I eat chocolate chip cookies, the more I want chocolate chip cookies without nuts. I love them. I think to myself, isn't that the strangest thing? I guarantee this, actually God guarantees this, that the more you seek his face, the more you'll want to seek his face, and there is no aftertaste with that. There is no headache with that. There is no sugar high with that. It is so good for you, it's unbelievable, and this is what he desires for you. He desires that for you. When I first got saved, you know, it was like 1971 and the hippies were still in vogue, you know, getting high on Jesus, man. We're really getting high on Jesus, you know, like it's an alternative to the drug culture, dude, you know, all this kind of stuff. Well, I understand. I don't want you to get high. I want you to get fed. God does not, he's not going to give you a high, but what he's going to do is he's going to thrill you with himself. And there's no greater thrill than that. There's no greater thrill than being thrilled by God. And He desires that for you. We ought to desire it for ourselves. And this is exactly what the psalmist is saying. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. Keep seeking Him. Keep seeking Him all the time. You're taking your daily walk. You are going to the store. You're constantly talking to the Lord. Maybe, you know, under your breath, in your mind, talking to Him. Doing the car wash, wiping it down the dashboard, putting that stuff on, cleaning the windows, all that kind of, you're still talking to the Lord. You're still ministering. You're still talking to Him and letting Him talk to you with the Word of God in your heart that you have already read for that morning, and thinking about that and letting it waft in your heart and in your mind. This is what He is doing. And this, see, moms are an interesting breed. Yeah, they really are. They can do everything. In fact, the kids are going, do everything. Do everything, Mom. Get this, get that, get this, get that. Take me there, over here, do this, do that. You know, how can a mom be so busy and have that constant desire to seek His face? Well, here's how you do it. You tell the kid no. You tell the kid, wait. You know, no, not right now. You're going to have to wait. That's good for the child, by the way. Little patience. Little action on that. Little patience. And you take your time. I want to ask you this question, and this is very, very important, a very important question. When you get up in the morning, is He first in your thoughts? Can He be first in your thoughts? The answer is yes, He can. And make it so. It's your decision. It's your decision, not somebody else's decision. Make it your decision. Do it. You can do it. And so, it's, you know, it's a desired coming. It's a fortified coming. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And that rock is Jesus. Shall set me upon a rock. We go, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I don't know what to do on this. That's the first step in tremendous motherhooding. That's the first step on that. Lord, I don't know what to do. Show me, guide me. God will show you. God desires to show you. God wants to show you. I guess that's what desired means. God will show you. And then we look at, it's a worshipful coming. Look at this, verse 6. And now shall my head be lifted above mine enemies round about me. Why? Because he trusted God. He trusted God. God is lifting him up. And we worship Him for that. We thank Him for that. Therefore, I will offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I don't know what your favorite hymn is, and I really don't care. But what I do care is, do we sing to him? Do we sing to him? When you're down in your heart, he will lift you up. When you're down all around, he will lift you up. And all we got to do is call on Jesus. All we got to do is call on him. He is there. He's not going to come. He's there. He's already there. He wants us to lean on him. Somebody said, I love it. I love this. You know, the Lord gives wisdom sometimes in a snappy answer, you know. Somebody says to me, you Christians, you know, you bunch of, you guys, you use Jesus as a crutch. You use Jesus as a crutch. That's all you do. Oh, I'm supposed to be offended. You know, I go, no, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do. I said, I'm a basket case. I can't use him as a crutch. He's got to carry me. He's got to take it over totally. I'm so weak and feeble. He has got to do it all. And that is, isn't that the way it really is? We don't use him as a crutch. I like it when somebody says, you Jesus freaks. I said, my Jesus doesn't make freaks out of people. He makes people out of freaks. I said, this is my Jesus does it all. And you can know him. And those of us who do know him, we got to keep coming to him. And we cry to him. We cry to him. So we have confidence in him, coming to him, and now we can cry to him. Notice what he says in verse 7. It's a cry of expectancy. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Did you ever pray that? Lord, answer me. I can't. And sometimes that's a desperation. We come in desperation. But why does it always have to be in desperation? Why can't we ask God to do things and God, we come to him and ask him for this and answer me, show me? Okay, so we say yes, no, or wait. Okay, yes, no, or wait. He's the one that's telling us that. Why wouldn't we be satisfied with that? Is it what we want or what he wants for our lives? This is, I want what he wants for my life. So yes, no, or wait. If he asks me to wait, he's doing stuff behind the scenes. If he says no, it's for my betterment. If he says yes, it's for my betterment. You can't lose. I want you to have my life. I want you to answer me. Well, he has in his word, and sometimes he takes his word and impresses it on your heart and on your mind as to what his answer is. But we've got to be listening. We've got to be listening, quiet in our hearts, listening to what he would have us to do according to his word. He's never going to go contrary to his word, never, ever. And so we look at this and we say to ourselves, you know, it's a cry of expectancy and then it's a cry of obedience. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, the Lord has said that to you. He said it to David, and he's saying it to you. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek. He says, seek me, I will seek you. Seek me, I will seek you. It can happen on a millisecond basis. It can happen, you're driving, you're walking, you're doing whatever. You're in a conversation. You're seeking the face of God. It can happen in a millisecond. It can happen for an hour. Seek my face. Thy face, Lord, do I seek. And so he expects us to obey him. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. And then we see here a cry of deliverance, 9 through 12. Hide not thy face far from me. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not. Neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. The Christian can never expect an answer from God that he is going to leave us. The Christian will never get that answer. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Both Barb and I are orphans. We are. And sometimes you just go, man, they were like a rock to me. They were like, wow, to me. This is amazing. But our God is that rock. Our God, when they forsake, God will take me up. God has already taken you up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. So it's a cry of deliverance. It's a cry of faith. He's there all the time. He is there all the time. And that I look at that and I say to myself, that is fantastic. That is fantastic. So we... There was a guy in 1951, a session of the Southern Baptist Convention in San Francisco. M.T. Rankin led a prayer of thanksgiving for the life of martyred missionary William Wallace. Not the same guy from Scotland. This guy was, his name was William Wallace. He was martyred for his faith. He was a missionary. The prayer included this sentence, rich in illustrative value, quote, I love this. I love this quote. God is too wise to make a mistake and too good to do evil. Close quote. God is too wise to make a mistake and too good to do evil. We look at this and then we say, we look at the confidence in him and coming to him and crying to him. And now we get the courage from him. How do you get the courage to do what is right? How do you get the courage to stand up, to do what is right, and to say no, and to say, I'm standing against this? I don't know if you've ever heard of Yahwehists. I was on 34th Street and I think 7th Avenue. And the Yahwehists, they're like black Muslims, but they're militant. They'd want to fight you. It's racist all the way. Because I'm white, they hate me. And they wanted to fight me. I mean, not on that particular instance. And these guys, they pervert the scriptures, they get up and they read the scriptures, and another guy talks about it, and these guys are pretty lethal. In fact, it was so cool because this small, skinny black woman, and they're black, and the small, skinny black woman got up and in their face and started rebuking them in the name of Jesus. And these guys, these big guys, you know, who would just take, you know, could take them and take her and throw her across the street, you know, just, you know, that kind of thing. They didn't know what to do with her. And somebody said, hey, you know, he started heckling her for heckling these guys, you know. And so I thought to myself, I'm going to be a heckler, a support heckler. And I said to him, I said, let her talk! Let her talk. And she's going, I want to tell you right now. And she's like the finger going like this. A small little woman standing up, a Christian woman standing up for Jesus, to these guys that could just destroy her life in 2 seconds, and they didn't know what to do. I was supporting her by heckling the hecklers. It was actually kind of fun. And to watch this woman go, I like that. And I like verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And here is our marching orders. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You want to sing with me? I'm going to teach you a song. You ready? You guys ready? Okay. All right. It goes like this. And the lyrics are right here, King James. Okay. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You guys ready? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. One more time, okay? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sounds like a command. Let's obey it. We get so blessed from that obedience, it's hard to describe. Wait on the Lord. Father, we thank you for the courage that you have given to us. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help us. We ask you that, you know, you would just really bless our lives. You want to do that. Sometimes we have a view of you that you're some cosmic killjoy and that you want to just run and ruin our lives. That's not the case at all. You want to take over our lives, that you would get the glory due you, but also, that you would use us for your glory to people who need your Son. We ask you that you'd really work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One quote I wanted to give you. Martin Luther said this, I have held many things in my hand, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. Thank you.